Welcome to Some Say I'm Gifted, where we teach you the magic of walking in your spiritual gifts and how it can help you navigate this crazy life, and helping you understand that even though we're in this world, we are not of it. So take a deep breath, relax your shoulders, and let's get real.
You sit around, listen to me talk. Well, you're going to hear me talk a lot more. We got a really cool topic for you today. But this is me, Tess, from Some Say I'm Gifted. And I'm here with the two hostess cakes with the mostest cakes, Morgan and Danielle.
I think you're getting better and better at these interest tests. I love it. Thank you.
You're not very kind to me, are you? You're being mean.
No, but I am Morgan.
Ooh, I'm going to fart in your mouth when it opens up.
I'm Danielle. Hello, everyone.
We're not angry with each other. We just talk to each other like we're sisters, so.
Yeah. It's a fun time.
It's a time.
It's a time. Just sits in the middle with her eyes really big, like, what the hell am I talking to? Which is hilarious to me.
Processing most of the time.
Processing.
Buffering. Processing.
Buffering.
All the things.
Buffering. That's great. Okay. So, I have a question for you guys. Do you remember the perfume? Probably not, because you're youngins. But it was big in, I think, around Y2K, called Fetish.
No.
I don't think so.
Wait, did it come in a black bottle with a bow tie?
No, I don't. I think it was a green, like a clear bottle with green on it.
Oh, okay, never mind then. I don't know what I saw.
Black bottle with a bow tie.
Oh.
I feel like you have to look this up to see what it is now.
Okay. Yeah.
Please show me.
No, you.
Black bottle with a bow tie perfume. Oh,
me, mine? I have to look up mine?
Yes, yeah, you have to look up yours.
You have to see what it is.
Will I not get like a million search options?
Black bottle with a bow tie.
Perfume, I think it might just come up with the one.
Should. My phone wants to act like it's got some kind of issues. It makes me crazy.
Is it not right now?
Here we go. Here's Fetish right here.
Oh. No, I have never seen
this. Oh, no, it's a very unique bottle.
That's what I was saying. Like, I had this.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And it was called Fetish.
Mm-hmm. Because it was supposed to make all the boys lust after you and have fetishes about you.
Ooh, I don't want boys having fetishes about me.
What?
As an adult, I fear that people have fetishes, and that's what they want. But it's just kind of a weird fear to have.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about fetishes and what they are.
Oh, shall we, Danielle?
I think for those...
That's what I was going to break to you guys, but I wanted to ask you some more questions about fetishes before we get there, okay?
Okay.
So in your terms, not in any like dictionary terms... Can you guys tell me what fetish means to you?
I think that technically, I think a fetish is sexualizing some sort of object, is what I believe is the technical term. But I think a fetish is any sort of explicit sexual desire that is maybe outside of the norms.
It has to be explicit and outside of the norms.
Yes.
Okay. What about you?
I think it's some like type of sexual fantasy that someone has that can be like related to an object, a person, an animal, a thing.
And you didn't look this up?
No. Mm-hmm. I have not looked up what the definition of a fetish is.
Also, fetishes used to be... Excuse me, but it's just like a small thing that you play with. It's like a coin in your pocket. Like, it was also an antique term, not antique, but a old term for something that you just kind of toy with in your hands, like a fidget spinner. It used to be called a fetish.
Okay, so like it was like a noun, like the actual object was a fetish, or what you did with it was a fetish.
A noun.
Okay, interesting. Very interesting.
How long ago was that?
I could be wrong, but that's what I've always thought. Long ago.
I've never heard of that. I'm not saying you're wrong, but
I don't know. Maybe I should put it.
This is really cool. I'm going to read this to you, okay? Mm-hmm. The first one, and this is Oxford, okay? A form of sexual desire in which gratification, this is very important you understand, gratification is strongly linked to a particular object or activity or a part of a, of the body other than sexual organs.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's not an object, mind you, okay? Like it's, if it, sexual organs would be what?
Your genitals.
Okay. Are boobs included in that?
I would not include them in that.
I wouldn't either.
Really?
I would think it's more just like...
Organically, yes, it would be more included in that. Okay. There are some women that only get stimulation, like...
Orgasm.
No, they can only orgasm when you have areola stimulation. Hmm. Or dual areola and penetration or clitoris stimulation.
So technically they're a part of that.
Yeah. Same brain thing.
Okay.
The second one, an intimate object worship for specific or supposed magical powers, or because it is considered to be inhabited by a spirit.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I like talking about fetishes because it gets better. So here is the origin of fetish. The Latin word fetichius. Portuguese, it means fetico, which is charm or sorcery. Mm-hmm. French is fetiche. And English is fetishes. And that was the early 17th century. Early 17th century, originally denoting an object used by the people of West Africa as an amulet or charm. From the French, from the Portuguese, charm, sorcery, from Latin, fetishes. Okay, y'all get the point. Mm-hmm. So, sorcery, holding spirits. And charm. Hmm. So, let's rethink this. What is a fetish? I mean, something that brings ultimate desire, right? Mm-hmm. So, in a way, it's the taboo. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be explicit, because what might be taboo to me might be
everyday to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not. It's that in particular person's thing, right?
Right.
Do you have anything from like toe, feet fetishes?
You can make anybody can make anything a fetish.
Yeah. You can worship anything too. So yeah. What's the difference?
That's where I was kind of thinking in my head. After you start talking, was that anything? It's a fetish is anything that you're putting before God, but
oh, it is right. How do we get fetishes? Do we know? And more, Danielle, I know you've got questions, so maybe I should step back and let you ask some questions.
Well, I think honestly, my first question was, when do fetishes start, or like how do they originate?
Okay,
so you know, like
okay, so everybody goes to puberty, right?
Yes.
And if you don't, there's reasons, but the majority of the people in the world go through puberty. And when you go through puberty, whatever you're stimulated by sexually starts fetishes. Which I know you're like, what do you mean? What do you mean? For instance, I had a client, female, and we were talking about she was having intimacy problems with her spouse. And I said, is it, you know, a lot of women are fearful of penetration. They have, there's a phobia of that where they, it's like their vagina, well, the vulva just stop, like mm-hmm. closes up. Like they can't, it's, that's, so I asked and they were like, no, it's not that. I'm like, is it, you know, because you feel insecure? That's another big one with women. And they were like, no. And I said, finally, do you find your husband attractive? She said, oh, my God, yes. And I went, when you were a little girl or growing up, was there anything, did you And I'm very, like, I don't judge, and I try to make my clients feel as, you know, comfortable as possible. I said, can I ask some really deep questions? She said, sure. And I said, did you masturbate or anything or feel stimulation or feel sexually aroused as you were growing up, especially through puberty? And she said, there was this movie that we would watch, and it had, like, a scene where there were naked men, like, walking around. It was like a scene... These people stumbled onto a nude beach without knowing. Mm, okay. So it wasn't like just naked men running amok. It was like men and women, but she focused in on the naked man. And so she was forever loved men's bodies. Like, and they, like, her husband would walk through that and she'd be like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, that was, and she didn't, and it was not like,
I need that in me. I just want to see it. Mm.
Wow. Interesting. Okay.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
She had no idea. So usually, like, I know, like, for instance, my group of friends growing up, I had a really crazy diverse group of friends. But when we were in middle school, a bunch of my guy friends were hanging out, watching TV. There was a bunch of girls, too. All the girls went upstairs in my room. We were all hanging out. And the guy friends stayed down in the living room. My mom walked in to see if everybody wanted pizza. And they had taken the movie Titanic. This is no lie. I know we've been talking about Pose Like a French Girl, right? But they had taken it and paused it.
Mm. Oh.
And I'm talking VHS, paused it.
Yep.
On boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And encircled the TV. Mm-hmm. And my mom walked in and was like, son, you know, I just hear my mom screaming. So we all run, all the girls run downstairs like, what are you doing? And we're like, ah! Because we're all, you know, we're like in seventh or eighth grade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all these guys are standing there with their whatever in their hands. And so as we got older, mm-hmm. right, a lot of my, especially if you've known me for a long time, you know that I don't judge and I'm very open about things. And several of those guys got fetishes that they only wanted to watch other guys jerk off or have somebody watch them. It's really weird.
Interesting.
Because you don't think, like, a small little moment in time would stamp you like that forever.
Imprint on you.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does your fetish say about you, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Is there, what is it? And I'm not asking you, you two person. I don't care. I don't really want to talk about it because I think that you all would be like, I don't know. And like, it, and think that I'm judging you because you can read into things. You know, I'm not. You would be surprised. And more people are not into as bad of stuff as you think.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing about fetishes. I don't like the word. I think the word holds a lot more to it. Mm-hmm. Then we realize. I mean, when you look into the origin of it, it's a little creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing itself isn't that bad. Like, if you have a foot fetish, is that really hurting anybody? Is that...
Is any of what we talked about hurting anybody?
Exactly.
I mean, as long as it's consensual adults, right? Yes,
right.
There's different so thoughts on that.
The stigma and the taboo of the word itself is doing more damage than the act itself.
I don't know. I think using the word over and over, because it literally, we looked it up and it means charm, sorcery. It means amulet with a spirit attached to it. So here's a bigger question. And let's just for a second, let's just not be judgmental of us using spiritual terms. Can we do that?
Yeah.
What if instead of fetish, we use what spirit is attached to you sexually?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? Is that too much, you think? Am I pushing the line too much? Or can we do this, right? Can we talk about this and be honest? Sexually, I can say personally, my once desires in the bedroom have morphed and changed as I've grown.
Mm-hmm.
Grown into adulthood. Grown into what I want, grown into what gets me off, like grown into my relationship with my husband. All those things have changed and continue to change.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a, this is it,
That'd be boring.
Old Faithful. Well, I know people that are like that, right? Yeah. But I also don't know if they're trying to constantly grow within. Like, the thing, one thing I love is learning. I absolutely love learning, so I'm always trying to learn. And I know that, like, as we grow older, there are different things in our brain and our chakras and our bridges. Everything starts to open up and more things become awakened, right? So it's hard for me not to think about that. Like, I was, there's this guy and I really thought he was cool, and then I started watching him and I really don't like him now. And I think I sent you guys some videos of the guy that says, if you have money problems, it's because you have mother problems. Like,
yeah.
I really liked him, but the more I watched him, he blames everything on your mother and father. And I was like, God almighty. You know, like, at some point, you have to take ownership, right? But he recently put out a video, and he was talking about if you don't have eye contact with the person you're having sex with, your spouse, you have deep-rooted communication issues. Wow. And I was like, it's kind of hard to look over your shoulder sometimes, buddy.
I mean, that's true.
Not everybody's straight missionary.
That's true. What are you supposed to do? Like, turn all the way around? I will say, as you were saying that, I was like, there have been, I feel like I've also changed over time, and the effects of some things have gone away.
Yeah.
And the effects of things now are different than they were before.
Yeah.
But like, it kind of wore off after a while. Like, yeah. The effect of the fetish or the kink or the thing that I found.
Honestly, I like using the word kink better than fetish any day
like
of the week.
Kink. Yeah. So I like kink or fantasy better than like fetish. Mm-hmm. More kink, because I just feel like it's not as, I don't know, fetish to me sounds a little slimy, to be honest. It sounds a little...
Well, clearly it's a little weirdly spiritual.
Yeah. So it's always felt a little like...
Like a haunted amulet? Sorry.
something like that. It's always felt a little like, eh. But, like, the kinks, I feel like, have changed, and the effects of a kink that I had before have kind of worn off, and now there's new ones.
Well, you evolve. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to be like we promote evolution, but we do grow. We do change. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not like, well... You know, a lot of people be like, when I first started watching porn, it was this level, and now I'm watching, you know, people eat their own vomit while having sex. You know, it gives, and I'm like, it doesn't have to be that way.
It's more extreme. They're always looking for something higher.
Some of them are, some of them aren't. Not everybody's that way. Not everybody changes that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's really interesting, I know I talk about this a lot, weight loss will change all of that. Certain angles for women, you know, get the job done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lose a bunch of weight. It will change.
Interesting.
Things down there for women are a little bit more fluid than they are for men.
Mm-hmm. For sure. A little more sensitive. And like,
I don't know if it's more sensitive, it's just I feel like they can move around a little bit more.
More hip movement in the hips.
Yeah, everything changes. Like the placement changes a little bit. So it's just different.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same for men. Like if men lose a lot of weight, the dimensions of their member change.
Yes.
I don't think it's very different for women. It's just the dimensions change, so things shift.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I'm with you. Kinks, or you know, honestly, especially when I was, you know, single and things like that, I would automatically ask, what are you into sexually? Mm-hmm. And they would be like, what do you mean what I'm into? I just like having sex. I'm like, okay.
Goody bear.
But what? Well, Lord, honey.
I didn't mean it like that.
On the first date, too.
Just laying it all down.
Just whipping it out there. But seriously, I would say, no, like, are you into fantasy and not fandom, but
role playing?
Role play, thank you. And you'd be surprised how many guys are like, nah. And they act like role play is like insane. And then they tell you what they're into, and you're like, that's not gonna happen.
Should have told me when I asked you the first time.
Or like,
that's why it's a fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, and there is a train of thought too, and I do agree that once you get to that fantasy, it's so disappointing that
you built it up so much in your head.
Yeah.
It's honestly better to continue to build it up in your head than actually go through with it. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people, do you guys, and you know, I think we should probably put a warning with this episode because it's going to be very X-rated, but does everybody know what cuckle is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so for those that are listening that don't know, that means you are into watching your mate be with another person. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not interacting.
Not interacting, just sitting. You can't even touch yourself. You have to, it's like they put a lock on you and shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it's intense.
Set you in the corner, baby.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of people that build this up in their head, when it happens, are so disappointed that 90% of the time, it leads to a lot of other horribly sad arguments. And some people, I've had a few clients that I've counseled through to try to get them to not have a divorce because they just wanted to spice up their love life and they thought cuckold was the answer. I feel like I would have started with something a little... Maybe like a vibrating cock ring, but whatever. You know what I mean?
Ease into it a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
Like there are other steps we could have
taken. Yeah, maybe like nurse doctor outfit or something. Let's get small steps, right. Okay?
Yeah.
Not be like, so we picked up somebody for me to sleep with while my husband watched. And when did you decide this? While over your meal of Applebee's? I mean, like,
just
what happened?
From 0 to 100, I feel like. Yeah. And then you gave yourself no room to see if there was anything else in the meantime that might have worked.
Not just see, but like, let's ease into this.
Yeah. And talk about.
Yeah.
You know,
communicate
a few
about
options.
It.
Yeah.
Have not just communicate, but like, this is a big thing because. You've got to realize if you're sharing them, like, we're not even talking about this biblically because I don't want to. There's so many aspects.
Yeah.
I don't think that biblically I should talk about it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I have to move something. My hips are getting.
No, I get it. Yeah.
We've been sitting here for a while. So, biblically, it's out of the question to talk about it. I can't justify it biblically. Mm-hmm. But what I can say is I don't just. Counsel people that follow the Bible. I counsel a lot of people and that's good. That's fine. That's okay. So this is definitely not necessarily a biblical one. Okay. What I can tell you about biblical references to sex is it was the greatest gift God ever gave man and woman, married man and woman. That's why to me it is the most perverse. Like, you've heard me say a million times, the word perverted has nothing to do with sexual things. Mm-hmm. It just means polluted. Mm-hmm. So, we've used it so much that that's what we know. We just don't know. You can't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, it's been morbidly twisted, and people are like, well, how is it the greatest gift? Because when you climax, and I think it's more into... Okay, speaking from somebody that had several sexual partners prior to being married, when I orgasm when I'm with my husband, it is a higher feeling. Mm-hmm. Okay? And when we orgasm, our pineal gland opens naturally. Mm-hmm. Our pineal gland is what connects us to God. So I know people are like, okay, pump the brakes. This is gross.
No.
I'm just telling you scientifically what's up, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, you're supposed to become one with your partner. But under God. Like, it's supposed to be...
It's a covenant. Marriage is a covenant you make.
Yes.
Right.
So it makes sense that when you guys are doing this together, when you guys both open your pineal glands at the same time...
Then we go to a higher place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it elevates your life and your... standing.
Yeah, it elevates your relationship. It elevates your life. It elevates everything.
Yeah, and then to pollute that.
Yes.
Is
to perverse it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's disgusting. So if you are following us with this conversation, you follow Christ. Don't think that we're telling you to keep your bedroom just in missionary. There's nothing wrong with missionary if that's what you're into. I don't judge, but. At the same time, that's not what we're saying. Okay. We're at this moment in time, now we're going to step away from the biblical things. We're going to talk about what happens with real life issues of people that don't follow biblical things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's okay. Are you guys okay with me doing that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so that being said, fetishes, they're not bad. Kinks, they're not bad. But I think for most people, spicing up your marriage is not getting a third, whether it's for a threesome or a cuckold situation, okay? It is...
You're introducing more than just that.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. In a spiritual aspect, but without tying it to Christ, okay, just in the spiritual realm of things, when two become one, whether it's in the eyes of God or whatever, however, when two people have sex, you get sexual ties. You get spiritual ties to the other person, okay? And I don't care if you're a Buddhist, I don't care if you're a Hindu, I don't care. You get that person's energy, intimate energy, all over you. We're not even talking about STDs. We're not talking about chlamydia, all that stuff. So you're bringing someone else's sexual trauma, sexual fear, sexual desires into your marital room with your spouse, and that is dangerous.
Yes.
And you're mixing it. It's like taking all that and putting it in a pot and be like, hey, you want a drink out of this? You know, that's... One of the blessings of having a spouse is being able to have sex and not worry about getting STDs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, I highly suggest that you, if you're on that road and you're like thinking about doing it, really sit down and have a conversation.
I was going to say, because I feel like it would be... make for a really healthy relationship if you all were to lay everything out on the table ahead of time and go like, hey, here's where I'm at with it, here's what I'm into, and then have you seen in the past if there's been like opposing, say, kinks or fetishes have broken people apart?
Usually they can work through that.
Okay.
Usually it's when they're like, okay, you want a threesome, you want to be a cuckold, and they dive into it. That's usually...
that's when the separation
starts. That's when... because there's an episode of Friends.
Mm-hmm.
So Ross...
yep.
...was originally married to a person that was gay.
Yeah, I forgot
but
about that.
But before she was gay, she was married to Ross.
Yeah.
And she came out by talking him into a threesome. And so Joey and Chandler were like, how was it, man? You know, they're like wanting to know all the juicy details. Yeah. He's like, you ever been invited to a party that you really weren't invited to? If you've never had a threesome, at some point you might feel that way.
Mm.
And I know everybody's like, you're like, you've had it. Yes, several. Mm. Men and women, sometimes more than three.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be times that you don't feel like you're invited to the party, especially if two people are more into each other than the third.
Right. Yeah.
And here's the sad thing. What if the two people that are more into each other aren't the married people?
Yeah. It hurts. There's a whole emotional aspect.
Oh, we haven't even got there yet. Like, yeah. The emotional aspect is more than we... and listen, we're not trying to have this conversation to say you're bad and this is bad. I'm telling you, if you are married... I'm not saying... if you're married and polyamorous, hey, that's a whole nother ball game and a whole nother show, okay? But if you are married, and it's one man, one woman, and you're contemplating this, you know, world of spicing it up by bringing in a third or... I can't remember what is it called. It's not a stag. Is it a bull? That's what it is.
A unicorn.
No, in a cuckold. If it's a man that wants to watch his wife with another person, I think that person's called a stud or a bull or something like that.
I thought it was a stag. But
it's a stag. I know it's like an animal and it doesn't, like, you know, whatever. You want to be in my brain for a second? Do you guys remember American Horror Story, the New Orleans witches, and they do where she takes Kathy Bates is like the person that the
head.
She takes the head of the bull and puts it on that guy's body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every time I read that, that's what I see. Is that not weird?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes
sense. It's kind of weird, but it makes sense. Yeah. Okay. So, if you're thinking about, think long and hard, especially if you have children.
Because
then you're bringing it into their house.
Yeah.
Or just don't do it at the house, too.
Even if you do it at a hotel, you're still going to bring it home.
I know, but
I think that's where the whole like emotional thing comes in.
Yes. So we need to go to the emotional aspect of it.
Yeah.
So forever and always, if let's say you do it one time, you're like, that was a mistake. Anytime you're with your spouse and they close their eyes for a second, you're like, are they going to be envisioning that?
Mm-hmm. Are they going to feel that? Are they going to like know that? Because I feel like then you're always going to trick yourself into thinking, oh, I've changed now, and they're going to pick up on it, and now they're going to ask questions, and then I'm going to have to, like, we're going to have to figure out how to where to go from here. I feel like it causes that rift, and then you have to always feel like you have to overcome that after it. You know, I mean.
Here's a thought, and I will tell you, I was warned when I before I had my surgery that the you have to see a psychiatrist when you have bariatric surgery to be approved to make sure that you have the mental status, you know. And they said, how long have you been with your spouse? And I, you know, at the whatever the time was. And then they said, have they seen you thin? I was like, thinner than I am now. But, you know, has weight ever been an issue in your relationship? I'm like, absolutely not, you know. And they go, we just want to prepare you for this. There's a chance that your spouse might not find you attractive anymore. I went, excuse me? And they said, some men like bigger women. I said, you're talking about a chubby chaser, huh? And she started laughing. She goes, I can tell you. And I said, yeah. I said, here's the deal. I've already talked to my husband about it. And if he doesn't like it, that's great. I don't have a choice. This is for my health.
Right.
If he's going to leave me because I lose weight, joke's on him.
So is that disclaimer there because they've seen so many cases of the men leaving?
Yeah, and I don't think it's just because of the weight. It's because there is a lot of extra skin, and a lot of people won't have the other surgeries to remove it. They wear their skin, like the extra skin is like a badge of honor, and I don't have a problem. I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's cool. I don't care. But, I mean, and she told me that. She said a lot of men have issues, and a lot of women have issues with the men that get it because they like a big guy. Mm. It's not. It doesn't just go towards women. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if fetishes are a thing to a point where you have to get a warning from a psychiatrist before you have a surgery, I think we need to talk about it more.
Yeah, the more in our lives and in our face.
Here's the thing. The more you normalize it, the less taboo it is.
Yeah. And the less power it has over you.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So me and my husband, we talk about things we're into and have been into all the time, which a lot of people would not be able to handle my lifestyle prior to being where I'm at now. And he's like, it doesn't faze him. Mm-hmm. So I do have some, and if you guys don't want to answer, you don't have to. Or if you want to answer in a nonverbal way, because I think it's interesting when we open up about our life. I will tell, and I don't care, but let's talk about for a second in your current relationships, and we're just going to talk about current. Actually, no, let's do in general. Out of all the people we've been with, have you ever been with somebody ever and visualized somebody else?
No. Yes.
I have.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in the act, and then like yes.
Yep.
For really? Sure.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Have you had to take your mind to another place during sex?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's wonderful. For you.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
No, it's I've had
pretty good
no, but
sex life.
Currently or always?
So
we're talking about always. Currently, no. It's a little. I don't think we should answer currently. I think no, always.
Always. With my first, it wasn't great, but I didn't do these things to get myself there. I feel like I'm the odd one out now.
What do you mean?
I didn't take myself to a different place or think of somebody else. I didn't do that.
It was good, and it got you there.
I don't think it got her there, but I think she just wanted to be in the moment.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll
enjoy the ride even if I don't get to the top.
Got it. Okay.
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 I think I have a lot more notches on my belt than you.
Yes. Yeah, I don't.
Yes, she's on that.
Nice.
My disagreement is like a floozy.
Oh, I've had a limited number of partners, so.
We'll just say I have had a limited number of partners too.
Limited is a vague definition. It's whatever you want it to be. Okay. Yeah, yes.
It wasn't constantly a revolving door, Morgan. No. I'm just saying. So, have you ever wanted your spouse, mate? We're gonna say in general, not currently, because I, you know, if they do listen, think, oh God, I'm horrible, because that's not what it is. Women to get to where they're going sometimes need more. They need a story. They need. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna be like, hey, get me a beer, you know. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like, hey, you want some of this? You know, like,
there needs to be a build up.
Some people are into that. I'm not.
I need a little bit more. I need to, like, build.
You want to, like, throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we're going to fight, let's make it a good fight and then make it better after. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I get that aspect, too. But what I'm saying is, what have you ever. I'm trying to say this as nice as possible. Turn down your mate in a very nice way without the headache.
Without the general excuses?
Yeah. Well, just that anything other than the headache. I have a headache because that's the biggest piece of bullshit ever. And I'll tell you why. They orgasms reduce headaches.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Yes.
They do.
They do.
Stop lying to your husbands.
Half the reason we have. Yes. I feel like half the reason we have sex.
Yeah.
Is to.
Release that tension.
Yeah.
Like my shoulders and my neck get so bound up.
Yeah. But
a little head bobbing else with that.
I'm talking about my orgasm, not his. Go ahead.
But yes, I would say other than the headache excuse, there have been times that I've nicely been like, you know, that's the question, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I was hoping you guys would elaborate and explain what they would be.
Okay.
But no. It's okay. I had a friend. The reason I'm asking and talking is because I had a friend. I'm not going to say their name. But her fetish was telling guys why she couldn't.
Oh. Okay.
It was really bizarre.
She came up with elaborate ones?
Didn't start that way.
Built up.
Oh.
Got more extreme.
Started with headaches.
Oh.
And the more she would get them riled up and then turn the... It was like total... There's a name for it. Prick teases. She would get them ready to like explode without penetration, without any... whether vaginally or orally.
No stimulation.
Okay.
And I mean, there would be some stimulation, but not with her mouth or her vagina and then call them like a pervert.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really just...
Yeah.
That's semi-dominatrix behavior?
Hers was from religious reasons.
Oh, wow.
That's what she said.
Okay.
Okay.
So one of my questions was, are there fetishes that can be caused by trauma?
Absolutely. Can I tell you about one?
Yes.
Okay, so there was a person I counseled, and he was... not into porn, which I thought was weird because he was of the generation where porn was very readily available for him. I mean, porn was not readily available for my generation growing up because you had to go to a store and somebody over the age of 18 had to buy it, right? But this guy, he grew up in a little bit more on the internet, okay? And he went into that, wasn't into like weird things is what he said, right? But he was having some... He was opening up about his childhood, and this is how this came out. Let's say it that way, okay? So, because sexually, this didn't faze him. There was a neighborhood girl in the neighborhood he grew up in that would let all the neighborhood boys watch her shower. And when they... So, he was telling me this because he was telling me that one of his high school friends had contacted him to ask him, hey, do you remember this? And he was like, he was kind of laughing about it. And I said, oh my God, that poor girl. She'd probably be raped. Mm-hmm. How old were y'all when it started? He said, I don't know, 12. See, you're telling me that a 12-year-old girl willingly would go shower and let all the neighborhood boys watch her shower.
Did she bring them to her house?
Mm-hmm. There's a window in her shower. Mm-hmm. So they could stand outside.
Was it like one at a time, or she would bring like, they would all...
Multiple groups.
At a time would watch.
Wow. Her shower, like...
Seductively.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes even to completion for herself.
Wow.
I said, that's crazy, because when I was 12 years old, I had no fucking idea how to do anything like that. Mm-mm. And most women didn't. Mm-mm. Unless they were molested or raped. Mm-hmm. He said, that's so crazy you say that, but you really must be gifted, because my friend called me to tell me she committed suicide and left a note saying that she had been brutally raped by her stepfather for years, for generations. And he said, I've had a really hard time with it. And I said, how many of your friends of those are cuckolds? Mm. And he went, what? And it's true. Mm.
So probably more often than we think.
A lot more often than we think.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's a, look, the whole, if you're the.
It's what happens.
It's mm-hmm. what happens. It is what happens. Do you fight it? Honestly, the. Speaking from somebody that's had a lot of crazy sexual experiences, the best thing and the best biblical way to get through it is talk to your spouse about it. Mm-hmm. And don't bring judgment into that. Mm-hmm. They're just telling you. It doesn't mean that they have to have that. It doesn't mean that this is going to be what gets them to completion every time. It means the moment you normalize it, it changes everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The moment you accept it, it changes. It doesn't mean you have to do it. Mm-hmm. It just means like, okay, I accept that's what you're into.
Bring light to the situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, I have...
Yeah.
I have a fetish question. Like, so a specific fetish question. So, at one point, I knew someone who was into, like, the furries.
Okay.
As a fetish. Uh-huh. Like, where does that stem
from? The taboo... From? So, here's the thing. There's a lot of things there. There's the taboo bestiality. Mm-hmm. Which, I was recently talking to someone that... deals with a lot of cartel things.
Okay.
Right? I counsel someone. I can't give too much away, but I counsel someone who deals with cartels. They're not from where I live. I don't know how else to say that. Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You don't need to.
So they deal with cartel in the... I mean, like, they're not of the cartel. But they're busing them, right? I don't know how you...
Okay. Got it. Okay.
So anyways, they said you would not believe we have to, like, take their phones, you know, if they get caught. Okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I've never not looked at a cartel phone and not seen them having sex with an animal.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you think about the thing in Tijuana, right? Oh, Lord. I polluted your brain. There's a bestiality show in Tijuana that's pretty well known.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay.
That's all we'll say.
That's mm-hmm. all I need.
No, trust me. You don't need it. But so, you know, and a lot of it is cultural. You'll find different things cultural.
But still based off of like experiences and
stuff. Yeah, so for the furries, there is the bestiality side of it. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's the taboo of taking something like a stuffed animal and using that to rub in a place, usually for females.
Got it.
Or for males to put a hole in it. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
And then there is the I do it. I get off on attention. Mm. So I go to these conventions.
Okay.
Then there's the whole mystery side. I don't know who it is. It could be a serial killer.
It's
a mask.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is another thing, like strangers, mm-hmm. like not knowing.
Like who... Lori Hills, yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Where does the stranger one stem from?
Lack of intimacy. Probably not a lot of... I mean, I do understand, like that guy said, he says every... If you never look at your... If you can go from beginning of penetration to complete climax without looking, then you have communication issues. I don't agree with that. But I do think if you want to only sleep with... And you can only climax from sleeping with strangers and mask, there's communication issues. Mm-hmm. But it's not just communications. Like, you weren't allowed to speak at the table as a child. Like, we're talking total dominance. And sleeping with someone in a mask gives you control. Mm-hmm. Mm.
That makes sense. Okay. Because I was also thinking, like, extreme abandonment issues. Like, if you didn't really know who... Like,
no, then you really want to usually see who you're with. There is a level with the mask and sleeping with strangers that does, and I'm not saying all of it, not every, because every person is, every case is different. Mm-hmm. But like, if we could, let's say, take a poll of everybody that was into sleeping with people like via glory holes and stuff, there is a strong religious control in their life. Mm-hmm. Possibly. I think 90% of the reason I don't force religion on my kids is because I don't want them to have to be messed up sexually.
To have really weird kinks and...
Well, like, just to be messed up sexually, you know, I don't think people realize what it can do. Mm-hmm. Because you really don't know the people you go to church with and make your kids go sit and listen mm-hmm. to. You don't know how they're touching them and making them feel uncomfortably. Mm-hmm. And if anything has told us anything, the stronger Christian nationalist you are, the more likely you're going to have some weird shit going on with your kids. Because you're letting these jackasses... mentor them, groom them. Mm-hmm. So there is, you know, really weird things like that tied to it. What I think's weird about it is not, I'm not saying weird in a bad way, I'm saying like, because they were horribly tortured by someone that was supposed to be nurturing them and mentoring them, they're here. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people really hate that. That's why they hide it. Mm-hmm. There's an amazing movie called The General's Daughter. Danielle watched it. It's got John Travolta in it. Mm-hmm. What's the guy? He's in American Horror Story movie. Too. He's tall. He was the warden in the...
Yeah.
You know the farmer in Babe? Remember the movie Babe?
Vaguely.
And he said that'll be all pig.
That'll do pig.
That'll do. Okay, that guy. He plays the general. It's a great movie.
James Woods.
Yes, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's about a young girl who was in the military, went to military school, like academy. Her dad was a general. And
stuff happened.
Yeah. She was a female in the military. She was a beautiful girl in the military, and she went through some traumatic things.
Very traumatic.
And she was forced to not talk about it. Mm-hmm. So it forced something in her to bring it up constantly in ways that you can't. So, like, for instance, I was talking to somebody the other day that said, hey, I heard that if you've been brutally raped, that from that point forward, you crave that. I said, no. No. Speaking from experience, no. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I've been brutally raped. Nope. That's not my thing. Mm-mm. Never been my thing. Not my thing. And I'll explain why. Because I got help. Because I had space to talk about it. I wasn't forced to ignore it and push it down. So, like I said, talking about it, normalizing it. Saying, hey, that was a horrible situation. That doesn't mean that if I'm with my husband and he holds my hands down, I'm going to freak out. Mm-hmm. You know, it means he knows my boundaries. I know his. And that's the most important thing. And that's what we have to hear. Mm-hmm. So, yes, relationships and marriages are about communication, and that's so important. I can't stress that enough. But just because you don't make eye contact with your spouse the whole time doesn't mean that you lack communication issues and that your marriage or relationship is doomed. The guy went on to say something about how you possibly have father issues because of abandonment. I mean, it was really like, that's when I was like, okay, we're no longer friends, buddy. I unfriend you, but you know.
Yeah. Okay, so this is last question. If somebody, say they're like struggling with a fetish, or there's something they want to overcome, are there places they can go? Are there people they can talk to do like fetish counseling?
There is fetish counseling. There is sexual trauma counseling, if you feel like it's that. There are sexual counselors. There are counselors like me that don't care to talk. I mean, I'm fine with talking about sexual things. I do it on a regular basis with couples and with individuals. There are shame counselors. There's all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. So lots of resources out there.
Lots of resources. And you just have to look. You just have to, you know. Sometimes we don't want to put ourselves out there to even look, but they're there.
Yeah.
So if you need me, I'm here. You can find me at Tesseray Lee McKittrick on Facebook. You can find any of us on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram at Some Sam Gifted. You can always reach out to us privately on somesamgifted@gmail.com. And guys, listen, I'm not kink shaming. I think that that's actually what makes relationships really unique and special, is when you can find whatever you have and whatever you carry sexually and whatever your mate does, and you can make it together. I think that's the coolest thing. And I love stories like that. I love stories like that that make it work through trauma, through all that, and there's a beautiful, happy hunting ground for you to frolic in. So let us know if you need us. I can't wait to hear the feedback on this one. I love you guys. Have a great day and night and year.
Bye, guys. Love you.